So following on, he's in all sincerity, it's difficult, isn't it, when you've had some people go before you who have been preaching and sharing from God's word, and you're thinking, how do you follow on from that? We've had Margaret on the shoulders of giants, is it? I bet Margaret can lift me up on her shoulders, actually. Then we've had Eric. And then we've had he's a Royal Scholarship, John. And he's thinking, oh, goodness me. So tonight, what I'd like to do first is... Pardon? The same Holy Spirit, absolutely. Just before we kind of get into this message, there's some really important things I think we need to get to grips with tonight. Can we just pray? And please, everybody be praying as I am sharing. So Father, we come before you now and we say, here we are, the ones that you love and the ones who love you. Father, I pray that this is the word that we share tonight, your holy word. Father, we thank you that this word has the power to transform forever. Father, we thank you that your word comes with a warning hazardous to health. When we start to read this and live by what it says, God, we can never be the same, Father. Father, we can't be in a popularity contest. Father, we can't just be about pleasing people. But God, when we read your word and we seek to obey it as a demonstration of our love for you, Father, we thank you that you're glorified and honored in that. We ask, Holy Spirit, have your way tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we're going to read chapters. Hey, thank goodness that we're not doing what Margaret's been asked to do there. So, we're going to continue with the series of Deuteronomy. And I'm going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we're reading Deuteronomy chapter 6, 7 and 8. Just a bit of background first is... The way I look on it as I'm reading Deuteronomy, and Moses is speaking to the Israelites, he's trying to keep foremost in their minds what they have been through in this wilderness experience before they've reached the promised land. Moses again and again and again is reminding them, do not forget the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength. Do not bow the knee to any other idol. If you obey this, it goes well. If you don't obey this, it doesn't go well. That's my simple Salfordian way of understanding it. So the Israelites have come through the wilderness, and I see Moses sharing one long sermon on Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. And then we're going into Deuteronomy, and it's a preparation for all the promises that God has for his people, the Israelites, as they go into the promised land. So it's his promises, his preparation. One of the interesting things as we look at that is he's constantly saying to them, remember the miracles, remember the provisions, remember the clothing that never grew old. What Moses was saying to God, when you get to that promised land, when you get to that Canaan, and you see all these giants, people greater in number, people greater in stature, remember who your God is. Remember what he did to the Egyptians and Pharaoh. Remember what he's done with you and for you during your time in the wilderness. Remember, God is faithful to his word. If you are faithful to him and you honor him, it will go well. Does anybody know how long it should have taken the Israelites on that journey from Egypt to Canaan? Anybody? A bit longer than 3 days. It's about 4 weeks, people said. It was about a 200-mile journey if they'd have done the most straight journey. And it would have been about 11 to 14 days journey, depending on how quickly you walk or run or whatever. But Moses took him a bit of a longer route to avoid all the Philistine strongholds and townships. He didn't want to go to war yet. Maybe he was a bit of a chicken or he was just a good leader. So that is a bit of a background there. And as I've been reading chapters 6, 7 and 8, the first three things I see, chapter 6 is about two things. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength. It doesn't have all those phrases, but I like to put that in. Secondly, it says to teach your children. I want to talk about something there in a minute, teaching our children. It is a vital, critical thing, especially in today's climate that we live in. What is happening to our children? What we're hearing being taught in our schools, in our colleges, in our churches. Teaching our children is the most critical thing. About identity, about who God is and who God isn't, how we should live our lives before Him as children. Then we come into chapter 7, and it says, drive out the nations. Do not bow the knee to any idol. Do not have any other God, any other love or affection before me. I am to be your absolute one and only. I am to be your love above all other loves. So as God says, love me with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, it's because He loves us with all His heart, mind, soul. He loves us with His everything. And He's saying then, do not bow the knee to any idol. Then chapter 8 is, do not forget me. So when you're finally in this promised land, and it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land that's plentiful. It has all the houses and the palaces that they did not build with their hands. It is good. What is human nature inclined to do? When things are good, we forget God. So Moses is saying, do not forget God. Can we see where we're going with this? Love the Lord your God. Teach your children. Bow the knee to no idol. Do not forget me. I think these are the three precepts for living a good life, a fulfilled life. And it's the precepts that are the key things to our society honouring God and prospering. Because in many ways, our society is not prospering today. So if we go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And what I want to do, I'm not going to read 6, 7 and 8. Margaret's disappointed. We'll have to come round for tea. And we can read chapter 6, 7 and 8. I'm just going to pick out little bits and share some kind of thoughts on this. So it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. With the Jewish people, if you've ever seen the Orthodox Jews in Israel walking around with little books, what's it called again, Margaret? John, anybody, what's that called? Yes. That's right. And the thing on the head, begins with P. Phylacteries. Thank you. Phylacteries. Thank you. So these things on your mind are phylacteries and they wear it on your arm, which so is talking about having God forever in your mind. On your arm is talking about forever thinking of God in your work and the things that you turn your strength to. And it is called the Shema, I am reliably informed. Hey, I've not been to college to learn these things. I'm not that clever. I just read these things. Hear, O Israel. Can I tell you something? The Jewish people say this is one of the most beautiful portions of Scripture ever been written. Have it on your mind. Have it on your heart. The Lord is one. There is none other. There is no one above. Verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Can we hear something here? To be on your hearts. Do you know there is mandatory obedience? It is a commandment. It is not a suggestion. It's not an idea. It's not a church committee meeting. It is a commandment. So it is mandatory obedience. But this love is voluntary love. God longs to woo us to himself. So when it says, write it upon your hearts, our hearts is the place of our affections. What we cherish above all other things. What excites us. What gets us passionate. Regard me in your heart. Be excited about me. Be passionate about me. Have me as the sole source of your affections. The one and only source of your affections. So to love the Lord your God with all your heart. With all of our affections. Can I share a couple of things in this that I see as loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, with our affections, is this. Number one, to love him above all things. How many of us say we don't have time to be with God and to love him? But we can go to the cinema and watch a 3-hour film. Or we can go to a football match and watch Man United. Or even worse, Blackburn Rovers or something like that. I mean, anybody who does that needs God anyway. But hallelujah and praise the Lord. We know now, we live in a media and news and TV, gadget saturated world. We have so much time. We love them. We have affection for them. Well, God is saying, have no other things. Give your affections to no other things. To love the Lord your God with all your heart. So I'm saying, God, help me to love you with all my heart because I have affections for many other things. I have affections for Man United. I have affection for money. I have affection for reputation. I have affection for how I look. God, let me have affection for you above all other things. To love God, and people are laughing at me now. I say, well, I wouldn't have affection for how you look, to be honest. But there we go. Have to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our affections, with all of our passions. To love God with all of our soul, with all of our personality. Can I look at one key thing I want to look in at that is in our soul, our personality. I believe a key indicator is our speech. And Ephesians chapter 5, I think it is, says something along the lines of, put away all evil talk. Do not grumble against one another. As Dawn is checking it there, she'll know that I'm paraphrasing it kind of correctly. Do you know what is interesting when it says about our speech? It has a power of life and death, the tongue. Does it not go on a couple of verses there, Dawn, to say, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Put away all malice, all slander, all evil speaking. To love the Lord our God with all of our soul, with all of our personality. Watch our speech. Do not be talking about anybody here in a way that you would not talk about them in front of God or if you knew they were listening. Do not do it. Do not say it. Do not think it. We're not allowed. Do not criticize somebody because they go to a different church. I'm stepping on some toes here. Do not criticize because we may have a different type of public worship. Do not criticize because somebody might smell a bit differently to us. Watch what we say with our words. To love God with all of our minds. Can I just say something very simply on that? How do we love God with all of our minds? Does Romans not say, present ourselves daily as a living sacrifice by what? The renewing of our... How do we renew our minds? Soak ourselves and saturate ourselves in that. So many of us get ourselves into trouble. Do you know why? As Christians, because we're illiterate in regards to this. Now, Margaret might think, oh, Paul, you're a bit harsh there. But we don't know this. I sit and I talk with people, and they're saying they're going through this or they're going through that. And I say, tell me what do you think God has to say about it? What does the word have to say? Oh, I don't know. Well, we need to know. Because God is saying it's a way that we can express our love to him. Immerse ourselves in his word. To love him with all of our minds. Fill our minds with God. Fill our minds with his word. If we are filling our minds with God and his word, can we then, as we love our people with our soul, our personal life, can we be speaking badly about them? Can we do that if we're loving him with all of our minds and we're soaking our minds with his word? Can we do it? To love God with all of your strength. I go to the gym. I've 800 kilograms I can lift, believe it or not. Just over. And I can do 185 kilograms as a dead weight. Like that. Booyah! It's not talking about that kind of strength. It's talking about a weak strength, as in brokenness and humility. To love him with all of our strength. How do we express? Do you know, I believe, according to Andrew Murray, and I agree with him, the greatest expression of Christianity is humility. Because it was the greatest demonstration that Jesus Christ showed. In humility, he came as a man and walked on this earth and died for us as sinners. He didn't need to do that. He had need of nothing. Other than he wanted us to be with him and in relationship. He wanted to bring glory to his Father. So as we're looking at this, is to love him with all of our strength. I'd like to look at time, energy and money. To love him with all of our time. What do we give our time to? You know, I was talking to a pastor friend last week, and he says that they're having trouble. Even some of the leadership team, about coming to church every Sunday, or being at the prayer meeting, or being at the midweek Bible study, or coming to the community outreach. Because what they're telling me, Paul, is this. They're going roller skating, or they're going playing rounders with the kids. The kids have got rounders to do. Can I tell you something? I might not be very popular for this, but I just prayed a few minutes ago. I'm not in a popularity contest. That's not right. We should be demonstrating that we love God in our time by doing the things that please him. I'm not saying all those things are wrong, but if they get in the way of us coming to church or to the prayer meeting or being involved in reaching out to people around us who do not know this amazing God and to share an... No, please. With our energy. What do we give our energy to? I love going in the gym. When I see people next to me on the gym who are younger than me, it's awesome. Energy. I'm going to beat them. So there are young kids there, young whippersnappers, who get on the treadmill. And I look at them and I go, like that. So they know who I am now. And we're going. So I just start at 10 kilometres, and we're like this, and they're doing the 10 kilometres, and then they go up to the 10.5 kilometres, then they're going up to the 11 kilometres, so I then go up to 12.3 kilometres, and they're like, oh, so then they go up to 13, and then I get up to 15 kilometres, and one of them actually came flying off. Now, I use that as an example. Is it clever? No, it's not. Energy. I can lift more than some of them. Some of them batter me. That's all right. But what do we give our energy to? You know, Helen phoned and said, can we go and see Dave? Blah, blah, blah. Let's give our energy to things that God values, that demonstrates that we love him with all of our strength. Money. Time, energy, and money. To love him with all of our money. Do you know, it says in two places in Acts, towards the end of Acts chapter 2, towards the end of Acts chapter 4 or 5, I think it is, where it says two things. They saw need, They sold the things they had and they gave as they saw need. In Acts chapter 5, it says they gave as they saw need. It says actually that there was nobody in need. Do you know, I'm hearing today pastors having to leave their full-time calling because their church are not paying enough money in. They're having to go and get secular jobs. They're having to go and do other things. They're having to close ministries down in the church because they haven't got enough money. But I was hearing from another pastor who somebody in the church had asked him to go with them because they were all excited. Why? Because they were buying a £650,000 house. Yeah, for the two of them. Six bedrooms. But when they were talking about putting money into a mission they wanted to do into the community, they were nowhere to be seen. Pastor were fed up of being asked for money. Can I say, at the end of Acts chapter 2, it says that when they saw the need and they gave, they sold land, they sold possessions, they gave as they saw need. It says they enjoyed great favor from the people. What did it also say then? And the Lord added to their number daily. Let's demonstrate our love for God by being reckless with our generosity. Let's not be content about living in the biggest, driving the best, wearing the best. Let's give into God's kingdom. Let's demonstrate we love him with all of our money. First, number one. Nothing wrong in having money. But if you've got money, make sure you do the right thing with it. God will not evaluate us when we go to meet him on what car we drove, what house we live in, or what clothes we wear, or even how much we gave, if we know we didn't give it as our very best. That's the first one. So Deuteronomy 6. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Lord, make 15 minutes into an hour. Oh, Jesus, help us, please. Amen. It says, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. That's what we were talking about, the paraclete, isn't it? Prolactories, that's the one. Hey, try and say that. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. It can also refer to the Passover when the angels went past their gates. I want to talk about something really important today. Is who is teaching your children? Impress upon your children. Can I say today we are in a society, we are in a culture where we as parents, we as adults, are being devalued and diminished and taken right out of the equation. In society, our government, our children's services, our education system, even our church boards at times. Who is teaching your children? Just want to say something here. Who is teaching your children? And what are they being taught? If we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. The best learning I had came from teaching. It was actually from her Sunday classes. Do you know who that was? Corrie ten Boom. Children are great. I love this. Children are great imitators. So give them something great to imitate. Teach kids to count. Teaching kids to count is fine. But teaching them what counts is best. Train up a child. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Who is teaching your children today and what are they being taught? Can I share something? There is a system in place today that does not love our children and wants to completely erode and take out God from the equation. They do not want God in our education. They do not want God in our social services. They do not want God in our recreation time. They do not want God in our media and on our TV, on our radios. They don't want God. And we're sending our children to these schools. I have got a friend. And what had happened, there was a situation where their son came home and said, "Mummy and Daddy, why is it one of my very good friends has a mummy and a mummy and not a mum and a dad? Why is it that a number of my friends have a mum or a dad but are not married?" And the son went like this, "But do you know?" Like this, "You know. Why is it now one of my best friends, who was a girl, is now becoming a boy?" He didn't know. So they had to talk with him as a family. They had to say, "Look, this is what the Bible teaches." The young lad actually said, "I know God can't honour that, mummy, daddy. What's going on? What is true? Is what you've told me true? Is that true?" I asked my teacher and I said, "We can't have sex outside marriage." And the teacher said, "Well, as long as you love one another, you're committed, we can do what we like." "No, we can't. We can't." So they took the child out of the school. Ofsted, the education board, are threatening legal action against them for impinging upon the child's human rights, for depriving them of education. Who is teaching your children? What are they teaching them? We need to be dead serious about this. If we've come for a happy, clappy time, there's too much at stake to do this. There's too much. I care about this passionately. I care about this deeply. I will give my life for this. If we haven't got something worth dying for, we haven't got anything worth living for. Who is teaching your children? What are they being taught? We as parents have, and as adults, have the responsibility to teach our children to love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And to love him and only him alone. To live life his way. And we don't need to apologize for that. We have a duty to make sure our children are coming to church. We have a duty to make sure our children and our young people are going into their Sunday schools. That they're coming under good teaching. Because if we don't, it says there, if we don't teach our children to love God, the world will teach them to not love God. Bear it in our hearts. Can I say one thing, because I might sound like a complete lunatic here, is the Murden family, they are an example. And they are to be congratulated and applauded. Can I say, I was watching Jack there worship God, and I could see God, just looking at that, and just singing and rejoicing over Jack Murden, worshipping him as a young boy, unashamedly. Congratulations, Ali and Anthony Murden, for taking up this responsibility, making a stand. At the minute, there's a discussion in Parliament. It's called the Legal Guardian Bill. And it's where it's for Scotland at the minute, where every child will be given a legal guardian. Just under 1.1 million children will be given a legal guardian that they decide how that child is going to be raised, what they're going to learn, what they're going to be educated, what they believe. And if that family don't agree with, the family are then reported to Children's Services. That is a bill trying to be pushed through at the minute. We have got to make a stand, church, and say, no. Please understand, I'm this pleb called Paul Davis. I'm not one of the leaders. They just every now and again let me loose at the front here. Yeah? I think just out of sympathy. It's part of my recovery. It's keep me out of trouble. I don't know. Or get me into trouble. Or let people laugh at me. But let me tell you something. This burns within me. I care about this. And if we're not parents, look around. If we have one of these, a brain,
an understanding of who God is. We want to see our young people love God with their everything and impact society and bring transformation to our society. For the glory of God, let's draw alongside our young people and teach them and say, no, this is what God's word says. This is the right way to do it. Forget what they say because they're wrong and it's not biblical. That we can't have sex out of marriage and there be no consequences. That sex is, that marriage is between a man and a woman. I say it unashamedly. I am not a bigot. I'm not an angry man. I'm a loving and a gracious man. I'll tell you something today. I have needed God to deal with me more graciously every minute of every day than the whole lot of you put together for 1 year. Let me tell you something. I need him. And I love him. And I want to see him glorified. Chapter 7. And I'm going to have to very quickly get done. Chapter 7. Don't bow the knee to any idol. It says, tear down their altars. Let's just very quickly look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. Says here, and when the Lord your God, Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 2, and when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them. Show them no mercy. Don't intermarry. Don't give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons, for they will turn your children away from following me against you and quickly destroy you. Do you know God is not a killjoy? He's not asking these things because he wants to spoil our fun. He's asking these things because he loves us and he wants the best for us. And the only way we are going to be prosperous and successful in life is to bow the knee to no other than but him, the Lord Jesus Christ. The question I ask in this is, what are our idols? Is it money? Is it our education? Is it our homes? Is it our reputation? I was in a situation where somebody, the same person came to me and said, I've been invited to, I've been told about something. Some of my senior leadership team, they were all at this kind of gathering and they were all rolling drunk. And he's like, can you believe this? And he had to speak with some of the leaders and they couldn't understand what his problem was. And out of this meeting, I had somebody come to me and say, do you know what, Paul? I love the idea of this Christian business. I love the idea of this God you talk about. But there were men there who were doing things that your Bible says they shouldn't do. We had to put something right there. What are your idols? What do we give ourselves to? What do we take comfort from other than from God? Chapter 8, very quickly. So chapter 7, do not bow the knee. Drive the nations out. Do you know as Christians we need to take the stand and show how we need to love God, how we do not tolerate things that do not honour him in this nation. Whether that's about our sexuality, whether that's about our identity, whether that's about how we pursue success, how we do church. Chapter 8. Do not forget me. So God is saying, when it's prosperous, when it's going well for you, and you're in the land and you're established and you're happy, do not forget me. I want to say three things on that, that I believe how we do not forget God. Let's come in worship together with one another, with our families, with our children, with our friends. Let's worship him. Why? Because he's an amazing God. Let's be captivated and consumed with who he is. Let us come to him in study of the word. We've talked about this. Let's come to him in prayer. We're acknowledging our need of him. We're saying, God, I can't rely on my own abilities. I'm relying upon your own abilities. And in worshiping him,
in reading his word, in praying and seeking him, God will be at the forefront of our minds. He will be the center of our hearts. We will not forget him. Why is this important? Because we need to see this community and this society around us transformed by the glory and the presence of God. I care deeply about that. People, let's give ourselves to that. Amen. Thank you very much.